the face of a common danger. The events of recent weeks may have helped to illuminate that challenge for some, but the dimensions of its threat have loomed large on the horizon for many years. Whatever our hopes may be for the future, for reducing this threat or living with it, there is no escaping either the gravity or the totality of its challenge to our survival and to our security. A challenge that confronts us in unaccustomed ways in every sphere of human activity. This deadly challenge imposes upon our society two requirements of direct concern, both to the press and to the president. Two requirements that may seem almost contradictory in tone, but which must be reconciled and fulfilled if we are to meet this national peril. I refer first to the need for far greater public information, and second, to the need for far greater official secrecy. The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society, and we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know.
That is a bold statement. A bold statement. Think about it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Jonathan Turley's article, 10 Reasons the U.S. is No Longer the Land of the Free, Assassination of U.S. Citizens, Indefinite Detention. That status, well, that's a whole different discussion. Assassination of U.S. citizens, indefinite detention, arbitrary justice. Warrantless searches. One of the, warrantless searches is a particular goad, I guess, in the discussion for those who have done a little bit of homework. And I keep trying to point folks to John Adams and what he said about James Otis. Why, as he put it, his character. His name and character should not be forgotten, should be remembered. And again, as I pointed out recently several times, as John Adams put it, James Otis, he considered the earliest and principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions ever to have occurred among men. That's a bold statement from someone who was not in the practice of using hyperbole. So what was so important about James Otis, and particularly the defense of the Boston merchants against writs of assistance as enforcement engines of the British revenue laws? So we have warrantless searches now. And the section Jonathan Turley wrote under that reads, "The president may now order warrantless surveillance, including a new capability to force companies and organizations to turn over information on citizens' finances, communications, and associations." And again, Bill Binney was there at the NSA when the mechanisms that were pointed out were all turned inward. And it had been going on before, but, Again, enter Carl Cameron's four-part series, Israeli Spying, over Fox News that disappeared within, what, 2 weeks, I think? It's supposed to be a 12-part series. The four parts that were published disappeared almost immediately. So it was mainly through partners, and now all of the partners are spying, and apparently we've gotten over the moral dilemma, the moral crisis, that it's wrong. Morally and ethically wrong to do what's being done. Used to be criminal. Again, the kinds of things the Bush administration started doing immediately got Richard Nixon impeached a few short years before. But then, you know, you can fast forward to the Michael Milken, the SNL scandal, and the Keating Five, and how there was shame, disgrace, and prison time for some folks, not enough folks. But then you fast forward to arguably the greatest financial crisis the world has ever experienced. And who went to prison? As far as I know, one whistleblower, none of the culprits. This is where we are. You know, again, you think of books like Philip Zimbardo's Lucifer Effect. How does everyone get conscripted to evil? And as a further testament, again, I think of Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 9 in particular, and Chapter 10, into Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top, but Chapter 9, Security and Freedom. Remember those quotes, Lenin and Trotsky, respectively, the whole of society will have become a single office and a single factory, with equality of work and equality of pay. Communists want the socialist egalitarian ideal? Of course they do. In a country where the sole employer, that was Lenin in 1917 and Trotsky in 1937, echoing those sentiments on a grander scale, in a country where the sole employer is the state, opposition means death by slow starvation. The old principle, who does not work shall not eat, has been replaced by a new one, who does not obey shall not eat. And it's interesting, in the documentary The Spider's Web, the point is made by several folks that control is wielded in very subtle, nuanced ways. You know, you manipulate and control people through a variety of mechanisms. You know, maybe you dump too much work on this person so that their focus is directed elsewhere, or you put pressure on. Interesting. So we're having technical difficulties. That's fun. So can we open the phone lines though? All right. So phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. No clips for now. Clip Nazi, you know, from Seinfeld. No clips for you. So we were going to play one of the excerpts from one of the deleted scenes, actually. So, you still have me? Can you hear me? Okay. We have some funky things going on with Skype right now for those who are listening, so I apologize. Anyway, we were going to play the deleted scene, The Origins of Offshore, the Spider's Web deleted scene. And that was published a year ago, actually. Speaking of published a year ago, has it already been a year since James Corbett did the how and why big oil conquered the world. I can't believe that. It's been a year? Man, time flies. So anyway, that deleted scene from last year, the origins of Offshore, it's very telling. Maybe we'll get an opportunity to play that little, whatever it is, less than 3 minute clip. But, this is where we are. I mean, you think about all these things, the insanity of it all. Again, back to JFK's speech, that the excerpts we played from his address before the American Newspaper Publishers Association back on April 27, 1961. And, even today there's little value in ensuring the survival of our nation and if our traditions do not survive with it. And before that, even today there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Think about what's happened. And he said, there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That's exactly what's happened. And there is a public-private partnership these days, so-called, in the market state or the market security state to do just that on a cooperative basis. It's need to know whether public or private, because, you know, these people are shuttled in and out of circles of power in the fashion that C. Wright Mills pointed out in The Power Elite, whether government or think tanky or private sector, so-called, and academia sometimes. But, you know, so Jonathan Turley, again, assassination of U.S. citizens, indefinite detention, arbitrary justice, warrantless searches, which, again, should be a focal point for anyone who listens to John Adams pointing us to James Otis. That was the flashpoint in 1761 that resulted in the spirit of 1776, so to speak. That one should really, spark outrage, so to speak. Secret evidence, war crimes, secret court, immunity from judicial review, continual monitoring of citizens, extraordinary renditions. Doesn't this sound precisely like it was lifted from like a movie plot based on JFK's warnings and the other warnings of history? And then you skip forward. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence. Just think about what's happened in America in the post-9/11 era. Relies primarily on covert means for expanding its influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections. Look what's happened in the last election cycle in particular, 2016. Subversion instead of elections. You know, the DNC is entirely subverted. The primary is entirely hijacked. They go to court. Your charter says this. And, you know, they say their legal defense is, well, you know, that's just a guideline. Really? Well, then what confidence do you have in that institution at all? Subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. Again, same thing. And how many folks, 8 at last count for sure, 8 folks died suspiciously around just that subversive effort? Intimidation instead of free choice. Guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. Again, the rise of the PMCs, Blackwater, DynCorp, et cetera, et cetera. And the legitimization of these organizations that really shouldn't exist in the first place, that are part of creating the problem they allegedly fight, ostensibly fight. And as JFK pointed out, is a system that which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations the market security state, as Patrick Porter referred to it. So just insane where we are in America. Do we have the ability to reflect and see where we are, see the mile markers that we have passed along the way, the warnings we've eclipsed? To the phones, Fred in Michigan, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, Brother Chris.
Hi, Fred.
Thanks for hearing that speech and expounding upon it.
Yeah.
I agree totally. How unbelievably prophetic and authentic. In fact, you authored a book, Profiles of Courage, and I remember reading that a long time ago, but not making the innate intrinsic connections. In chapter one, he cites the young senator from Massachusetts. I forgot the next. Anton Chaykin, JFK, the Empire. He delves into this, and I made the connection with John Quincy Adams from 1826. In a documentary entitled The New Atlantis, The History of the USA, in which it's dramatically exposed the murder, the horrific, barbaric murder of a William Morgan, a Captain William Morgan, who was a low-level mason, who decided to author an expose on the first however many rights, maybe the first seven or eight rights, whatever.
Right.
So he was kidnapped, brutally murdered, and no prosecutions ever occurred, and the outrage led John Quincy Adams to form the, as you know, the Anti-Masonic Party, which subsequently morphed into the Whig Party, and I think that morphed into the Republican Party as I grit my teeth. So, yeah, there's a historic continuum here. The other one that True Stream Media did is 100 Secret Societies Prove Who Rules America.
Yeah. And then there was the one, you know, the one that you've never heard of, about the Oculist Society. You always want to, your brain wants to say occultist, as they point out, but it's Oculist. So definitely, but the one that you mentioned, the 100, that's a fantastic video too. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
it's a lot less time.
So that's a complete waste of time. Sorry about that. We are, doesn't seem to matter what device we use. Skype is not cooperating. So my apologies. Thanks for your patience. We're on the phone. It's Fred in Michigan. You're talking about Profiles Encouraged by JFK.
Yeah, Chris, you sound great. You sound great. Okay. So if you're on a cell connection, you're coming through loud and clear.
Yeah, we're having serious problems with Skype. Anyway, we could talk about moving away from it, so we probably have to ratchet that discussion up. Anyway, Profiles in Courage, 1957, JFK.
Yeah, and by the way, JFK the Empire, I cite that only because Anton Chaykin does, I think, a scholarly, masterful presentation with facts that I had never heard anywhere else. And JFK and his brother had facilitated the construction of the largest dam in the world on the Volta River. I forgot what country that is. Western Africa, I believe. Now, the intent there, and this was with the help of a brilliant American engineer by the name of Kaiser, and one from Italy, with financing from JFK's administration. And so his whole itinerary was to combat, as he intimated in that speech, to combat the globalist hegemonic covert secret society conspiracy would be to empower the indigenous people to become free and independent as we were all born to be.
Right. Exactly. Great point. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media?
It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Tuesday, September 18th, 2018. And one quick announcement I keep forgetting or neglecting to mention. The Front Sight Firearms generous offer has been extended or reinstituted, I guess. And so go to republicbroadcasting.org and check that out. That's good information. We're on the phones. We have Fred in Michigan on the line. And so I'm not keeping good notes at this point. We're just trying to combat the ill effects of technological woes at this point. So go ahead, Fred.
Thank you, Chris. And so JFK being opposed to this diabolical globalist hegemonic Bolshevik Jewish communist conspiracy brought him into the reality zone of the Federal Reserve corruption, the Federal Reserve's ownership of the economics profession, the steel, everything, right? Patrick Henry, didn't Patrick Henry state something to the effect, whatever country fails to possess or control the purse and the sword fails to be free, right?
Yeah.
I think that was Patrick Henry. I don't know. I may be wrong. Somebody stated that. Let me recite what was Samuel that? Adams.
Yeah, Samuel that was Adams. A sentiment that was echoed in the day for sure.
So Samuel Adams, if you love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsels nor your arms. Crouch down, lick the hands that feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you. May posterity forget that ye were our countrymen. And then, of course,
yeah, that has always struck me as I've always thought of Samuel Adams as a bit of a provocateur, and that was one of the quotes that sort of leads me to that conclusion, but that's just my own personal opinion. anyway.
I think, you know, at this point in time, I'm reading this from the Citizens Rule Book, Bill of Rights Jury Handbook. I got put onto this by Jack McLam.
Yeah.
You know, Operation Vampire Killer 2000, Aid and Abet.
Yep.
Out of Idaho.
Yep.
And he ultimately proved, you know, the murder of Gordon Call, who did it. But I think he told me four times his efforts in a so-called court of law, court of Talmudic, Kabbalah, Zohar law, rejected it. And, you know, when I heard the declaration by Brendan O'Connell in his masterful treatise on the Bolsheviks and the murders of 66 million Christians, including the 9 million Germans after World War II that were systematically murdered by the policies of Eisenhower, which, according to Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, in the West Point yearbook, whatever year it was, forgot now, but they characterized him as the terrible Swedish Jew. Well, whatever. Eisenhower did what he did, as did Uncle Joe Stalin and that great staunch patriot from the UK, Winston. Well, they murdered 9 million Germans, mostly civilians. And like Brendan O'Connell says, how come we don't hear about this?
Yeah.
We hear about Chinese communists, but what about the Bolshevik communist Jews that run Israel and run U.S. government and all the state governments? I mean, the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC, whatever that is.
Yeah,
I bet my last thin dime it's totally, you know, corrupted with Bolshevik, Talmudic, Kabbalah, Zohar Jews.
Not entirely. There's a large contingent of what I would call predominantly CNP contingent, but that's, you know, Christian Zionist, you might argue, contingent. So a valid point. Anyway, we got calls stacking up again, and I apologize. We need to jump back to that, and it's most unfortunate because we keep having technical difficulties today. So anyway, good points, Fred, as always. I appreciate it. Thanks for your call. Back to the phones in the interest of time. William in Montana, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
I was, you know, when we were talking about that amazing speech by Kennedy, I was reminded of a quote from Alexis de Tocqueville. This was like in 1835, and it was in his book called Democracy in America. And he said, every nation that has ended in tyranny has come to that end by way of good order. It certainly does not follow from this that peoples should scorn public peace, but neither should they be satisfied with that and nothing else. A nation that asks nothing of the government but the maintenance of order is already a slave in the depths of its heart. It is a slave of its own well-being, ready for the man to put them in chains. I think that, you know, before, you know, when we were talking about the chip and DARPA and all of that, way before that, if you go back to between the wars, you run into something that was happening, or actually I guess it really got started in 1948 with the World Federation for Mental Health.
Yeah.
It was also, they had a founding document, and it said mental health and world citizenship. And so this was right around the time the United Nations were being formed and all of this. But, I mean, if you understand some of the stuff that happened in between the wars in England with the Tavistock Institute, they started, and this was the emergence of the psychotherapy and psychiatry whole thing.
Yeah.
They started using this, and they said, you know, what we really need to do, I mean, if you listen to some of the documents that were coming out in this country and, like, even in the 20s with the Macy conferences, where they were talking about, you know, if we could just get the kids away from their parents, we could raise a nation of people that aren't, you know, that they don't have these perverted ideas, you know, that are drenched with deism and spiritual matters. We could really get down to where we can raise a group of manageable people. And if you trace this sort of, you know, from the Tavistock Institute and this World Health Organization, you know, and you start looking into some of these characters, these were people running around in the 20s, you know, they were already at Harvard Medical School and in places in Toronto, they were already outlining a way to put people under this control by, you know, covert means.
Absolutely.
And they were using these psychological, it's like, you know, if we really know how the mind works, I mean, it's ridiculous that we don't use it as a weapon. I mean, this isn't just about helping people with mental issues. This is about learning how the mind works.
Actually, it was never about helping mental people. Just like what DARPA does at Walter Reed Hospital has nothing to do, or the stuff that we hear, you know, where we're helping shut-ins, the, you know, technology to help the blind see, the mute speak, the deaf hear, has nothing to do with the benefit to mankind. Absolutely.
And it was amazing how much inroads. I mean, if you look into this, you'll find out that, you know, Britain actually had as many spies during World War II in Washington, D.C. as they had in Germany.
Yeah, absolutely.
They really wanted to make sure. They said, the problem with these Americans is they've got too many resources and too much cash, and they're too distant from the wars that have racked Europe for, you know, for almost forever. And so they really needed to find some type of method. And so we get this whole, you know, movement of psychology, and, you know, we can look into people and basically take them out of action. And, you know, it's amazing how this educational thing was taken over under this movement, where they said, you know, we need to create, I think that a lot of these statements are scary. They were saying we need to create an intellectually free environment as possible, independent of the prejudices and biases of their parents. You know, and that is the hallmark of how we got into this mess, is that in this educational system that has taken over in very subtle and covert means, it's basically, you know, cast aspersions on any religious beliefs, you know, take away the authority of the parent to discipline their children, and then raise them in this sort of, you know, make them ready to become a part of this penal colony, which is called, you know, the United States of America, after they got rid of Kennedy. It's a very big subject. And it's always interesting when we have technical difficulties. Isn't it strange that when the flurry of technical difficulties happen, it always seems to coincide when we're really getting down at peeling back the veils? You know, there are certain subjects, as soon as we start, you know, concentrating on them, it's amazing how often these technical difficulties appear.
Yep. Absolutely. You know, I've mentioned the Minds of Men, and you know, the TrueStream Media documentary and Why Big Oil Conquered the World by James Corbett. Those are documentaries that kind of zero in on the eugenicist aspect. Again, the Rees Committee proving that the Rockefeller Foundation in particular was funding eugenics efforts, and the various health commissions, even the National Institutes of Health, was bent on eugenics at the turn of the 20th century. So those are great documentaries recently. Others have been done, books have been written. But my favorite book on the British spies in wartime Washington is Jeanette Conant's book, The Irregulars, Roald Dahl and the British Spy Ring in Wartime Washington. And from the preface, she writes, she's talking about the sending of folks like, you know, Stevenson and Roald Dahl and others to Washington. But she writes, by pushing Roosevelt to create a transatlantic intelligence alliance in the form of the OSS to be headed by London's man in Washington, William Wild Bill Donovan, Stevenson effectively made the U.S. intelligence service the willing handmaiden of the British. That's a great way to put it.
If you dig into, you know, some of these people like Frank Fremont Smith, who was the head of the Macy Foundation, which was that was, you know, they were the first ones that were convened at conference in 59, I think, on LSD and using LSD. And then you get these people who are always portrayed as just very intelligent people, like Gregory Bateson and Margaret Mead. I mean, that was sold to us in the 50s as these people are just learning about the human family and how we're all different, but we're all the same. And if you actually look at their activities, they were trying to figure out the best way to control minds, to control education, to produce a herd of sheeple, you know, that were easily manipulated. And all of this was flying under the cover of education and sociology, and all of these things that we were taught in the 50s are good things. And if you look at the money behind this, I mean, Rockefeller was putting a lot of money into this educational push to basically take education away from the church and away from the parents, and make it the sole responsibility of a government that has our best interests at heart.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the Minds of Men, Aaron Melissa Dyke's documentary, again, does a great job of detailing the Macy Foundation's involvement and the Macy conferences, which were actually convened from 1946 to 1953. And cybernetics, and I want to say it's Lark in Texas, I think, who mentioned the book, The Macy Conferences, 1946-53, The Complete Transactions. But I know that the documentary, The Minds of Men, is a great detailed primer on the subject for those who are interested. Anyway,
ran into this, you know, I had my eyes open like in 67, 68 when I attended some lectures by Marvin Minsky. And again, this was at MIT, and he's sort of considered the father of AI or something like that. And it was a very heady time. And in these lectures, he was basically talking about, you know, we would be fools not to take what we learn from psychiatry and blend it with these neural networks and these programming projects that were happening way back then, for the purpose of creating a cybernetic entity, you know, that controls, you know, our society for the better. You know, it's like, you know, these foundations were being laid, And if you actually, when I started running into some of the people surrounding Marvin Minsky, that's when I started, you know, running into this whole Macy thing. And, you know,
right,
I just didn't,
right.
Back then I didn't have the capacity to understand something so sinister. I mean,
far-reaching.
I couldn't imagine it. I mean, how can this be at the foundation of our society and nobody knows about it?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's staggering, absolutely. And I keep trying to underscore that point, and I appreciate you reiterating that, because it is astonishing. And again, I mean, the scope and magnitude of this conspiracy that's been going on for, you know, over 100 years with concerted fervor and eugenics and population control, whether by numbers or by manipulation, is at the heart of it. And people need to understand that. We have other calls I think we need to get to, unfortunately. So appreciate it, William. As always, thank you for articulating those points. Wish we didn't have the technical difficulties we had. In the interest of time, back to the phones, and we skipped the break too. Lark in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, well, hi there, Chris. Good callers.
Hi, Lark.
Yeah, good broadcast as well. I wanted to share just a couple points, and I'll try to be brief. First of all, I finally reached out to the Social Security Administration today, because I'm 64. This kind of a fact-finding mission. And I learned that the black gentleman from Albuquerque, the National Call Center, one of its branches, locations, said that we shared the same birthday. And then I said later on, towards the end, as an aside, did you know that our birthday is the same as Lyndon Johnson's? And he said, oh, I didn't know that. That's wonderful. He was one of my favorite presidents.
Huh.
And so this is what we're up against.
Yeah.
And then I want to share something else with you. I've got a dialogue going with several people, usually at the same time. Last weekend, I shared some email comments and a response from Robin Eubanks at Invisible Surf's Caller with the listeners and with Steve. And if anybody wants to check that out, I think that's in the last 15 or 20 minutes of that broadcast with Off the Beaten Path with Steve Elkins. But one thing that I wasn't able to share because time was short was an excerpt, a comment from Robin Eubanks. Regarding what you're talking about today, I had sent out some notions of community by MERS. I believe I sent a copy to you as well, Chris. But Robin responds, thank you, hope you are well. The timing on this fits with the Bradley Foundation-funded Commission on Civil Society, and Hillsdale is always pushing de Tocqueville in a very communitarian vision that this seems to fit with. Something to read while the rest of my family remains asleep. But for anybody interested, this woman really knows what she's talking about. She wrote a book called Credential to Destroy, How and Why Education Became a Weapon. And Chris, you can reach out to her at the email address robin@reformforgrowth.com. But here is an excerpt I want to share in conclusion from Robin's most recent blog post. Take about 30 seconds. Is that all right, Chris?
Sure.
It's no secret I have been tracking why self-build conservatives now push a vision I identify as communitarianism and Amitai Etzioni's new golden rule, while also misdirecting readers on the true nature of education reforms. So when I read about a 2017 book called Patriotism is Not Enough on the ideas that supposedly redefined American conservatism, I found the book. I learned that conservatism now aspires for social sciences such as education to be normative, not just descriptive. Quote, this requires a political science of an entirely different disposition, one that is concerned first and foremost with the condition of the human soul rather than the structure of government institutions or the foundations of the law, unquote. That quote is not an aberration, as a few pages earlier we have the quote, politics, if practiced as anything but an art of the soul, is bound to fail, unquote. I also learned that conservatism now views the, quote, formation of character, unquote, as the, quote, principal duty of government, unquote. I thought that would be instructive, because today when we point our fingers to the left socialist, and as you've brought before your listeners, the idea of the Reese Committee on the foundations and these uber-rich capitalists, it's really coming together, as Robin also indicates, like a pincer.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was what was being funded by the, as the Reese Committee proved 64 years ago.
Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.